This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Caleb Englert. Caleb is the president of the U.S. Sweet Potato Council. He's a grower from Houston, Mississippi. Yeah, we'll talk sweet potatoes in just a moment. Not talking sweet potatoes with Brad Rippey, meteorologist with USDA, but he is looking at drought coverage for hay and cattle producing regions of the country.
As we look at the livestock and the hay situation, we've also seen decreases in drought coverage recently there. 30% of U.S. hay production area currently in drought, down from a peak just 2 weeks ago of 37%. And U.S. cattle inventory in drought, just one quarter of the U.S. cattle currently experiencing drought. That is down from 33% 2 weeks ago.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Caleb Englert. And Caleb is president of the U.S. Sweet Potato Council. And I'm guessing here, is it Houston, Mississippi? Is that right?
It is Houston, Mississippi, where I'm located, which we're actually just a couple miles down the road from Varden, Mississippi, which is the actual sweet potato capital of the world.
You know, and if I remember right on the map, and I'm sure I'll mess things up here, but it's kind of a triangle between Memphis and Jackson, and I forgot what's on the other side there, but there are a lot of sweet potatoes grown throughout that region, right?
There is. There's actually about, well, we had this past year, we kind of sit there and float around about 30,000 pounds. I mean, not 30,000 pounds, 30,000 acres, excuse me, for the total crop production here in Mississippi.
All right, so let's talk a little more about Englert Farms and is sweet potatoes all you're focused on? Tell us a little more about you, your journey to the farm, and you know how you describe what you're doing today.
Okay, well, this all started about, well, it started when I was long enough to reach the pedals in a truck, but either way, I guess you would say a third generation farmer, but somewhat of a first generation farmer. I kind of branched out 10 years ago and went off on my own, and me and my wife started our farm, and we grow conventional sweet potatoes as well as organic sweet potatoes. And the organics is probably about 80% of the crop that we put in. Also, we do a few corn and beans to rotate out with, but our main product is our sweet potatoes. And like I said, the main product out of that is our organic sweet potatoes. And
let's go ahead. No, I was just going to ask, now if I remember right, there are like five different varieties. Is that correct? And what about production nationwide? What can you tell us about all that?
Yes, sir. So actually there's 10 varieties that are commercially grown throughout the United States, but you hear about five a little bit more than usual. But right here in Mississippi, like Mississippi utilizes the Beauregard variety, and North Carolina really utilizes the Covington variety. You know, everybody's got their main one that they use.
You've already talked about Mississippi. You mentioned North Carolina. What other states are growing, and roughly, you know, how many acres are we growing every year here in the U.S.?
Okay, so I'll put my U.S. council hat on now. So our main states that grow sweet potatoes commercially is going to be, you got your guys in North Carolina, and I work on down, and then you have your folks. There's a few grown in Tennessee, but there's more grown right there in Arkansas, and a few in Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana, and then you hit over there to California. So right there in the southeast region is where the majority is grown.
We're talking with Caleb Englert. Caleb is president of the U.S. Sweet Potato Council from Houston, Mississippi. More in a moment. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton. to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Caleb Englert, president of the U.S. Sweet Potato Council from Houston, Mississippi. Let's talk about acreage now, and I imagine Mississippi near the top of the list, but who grows the most sweet potatoes?
As far as acreage-wise, North Carolina kind of holds that title, and Mississippi and California are coming, depending on if you're going to go acres. You know, Mississippi's coming in there. If you're going to go yield potential, it's kind of a toss-up from year to year who has that, but everybody plays a significant role in pretty much feeding all of North America. I'd say about 80 to 85% of the U.S.'s production serves the whole North America, and the other 10 to 15%, actually there's a touch of overseas market, but majority of our stuff we utilize here in North America.
Okay. Well, tell me more about the production side of this, and for those who've never even seen potatoes grown and harvested, kind of take us through the steps here of how it's done, how you plant, and how you take it all the way to harvest.
All right, so about right here in Mississippi and most other states, we try to get started right there, maybe middle of March, about as soon as you get that first dry spell. We'll take our seed potatoes and we'll bed them in the ground, like a good rule of thumb, or just, you know, a good saying is you plant the potato to get the plant, and then you plant the plant to get the potato. So with that being said, we'll plant that potato, you know, in early spring, and about the middle of May, they'll be ready to start planting. So that's our planting window, is middle of May, you know, end of June, and then you go 90 to 120 days to maturity, which would be starting some, depending on the weather, all farmers depending on the weather, you can start maybe middle of August and or first of September and go on, try to be done by November 1st. This is what we look like as far as planting and harvest.
And what about the actual harvest as you go through? I would imagine everything here is, and it's very elementary, but everything is mechanized here. Are you having to utilize any labor?
Yes, sir. That's the number one thing in all specialty crops is labor, and seasonal labor is you need labor when you need it, you don't when you don't, just for this spring planting and fall harvest. So we rely heavily on and very thankful that there's an avenue with the H2A program that we're able to utilize that to get the labor in and do what we need to do, because there's not a workforce really here to meet those needs just for a seasonal time, you know, for those 3 to 4 months out of the year.
Let's talk about once it's harvested, where do we go with it? Now, I know I can, you know, as a consumer, I can get it at a grocery store. I can get it at sometimes a farmer's market. I can even find it in restaurants. What other markets are out there, and how do you rank as far as the importance of a market? In other words, are your domestic markets more valuable for you than the exports? Because that's the second part of this question. Do we export sweet potatoes?
Yes, sir. Like I mentioned earlier, 80 to 85, if not 90% of the crop is done right here in the U.S., and that's, or North America, that's including Canada. sometimes I forget that we would be exporting to Canada, but it's all right there. That can be done by truck. So we do export a good many to Canada, as well as there's a few small market overseas that we export. But most of what we grow gets utilized here. And those markets they're staying strong. I mean, I think with everything going on right now, everybody's looking for to be healthy and be healthier. So sweet potatoes is probably, in my opinion, I'm a little biased to it, but probably the best number one superfood out there.
Our special guest today is from Houston, Mississippi, president of the U.S. Sweet Potato Council, Caleb Englert. We're back in a moment. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. Shame. Special guest today, Caleb Englert. Caleb is president, U.S. Sweet Potato Council, and a grower from Houston, Mississippi. Good year, bad year. How would you gauge this year's crop?
Yes, sir. That's a good question. This past year, we're a little bit of below average, but the price is holding okay. We have had really, really good crop averages in the past couple of years. But as far as the price, there's nothing too bad, nothing too great.
You know, Caleb, you said I'm a little biased here when it comes to the sweet potato and being a superfood. But as a consumer of that superfood, if you would, what's one of your favorite uses? I mean, do you like it baked? What's your preference, your favorite, when it comes to preparing it?
I've probably eaten more sweet potatoes that I prefer, and my two boys prefer. One is 6 years old, and one is 2 years old. And they'll come here on the farm, and first thing they do, they grab a sweet potato and bring it to me. And I'll peel it raw and they'll eat it right there in the field or right here in the office and shop. So I've eaten more raw sweet potatoes than I probably have baked ones. But if I was going to cook it, baked sweet potato on the grill along with a piece of pork is what I'm going to.
Okay, finally here. And you've got a big event coming up. I believe it's in January and you're headed to Fort Worth. 64th annual convention, is that right?
Yes, sir. That's the one time of year everybody can put down stuff from the farm and come for a couple of days and network and talk to folks that they talked on the phone with all year and get to see them and fellowship. And then new innovative ideas or new equipment comes to our exhibitor center. And it's just a real great time. It's kind of the glue that holds the sweet potato community together.
And again, that's the 64th annual convention for the U.S. Sweet Potato Council. Hey, if we want to learn more about sweet potatoes, does the council have a website? Is there someplace we can go to really dig in, no pun intended, dig in and find out more?
Yes, sir. You can go to USSweetPotatoCouncil.com and come check us out there. And then each individual state has their own website where you can actually see the different growers and different farms that we have. And most of all, our farms are family farms, you know, second, third generation. And so everybody's continuing on the path that they started with.
There you go. Caleb Englert is president of the U.S. Sweet Potato Council, a producer from Houston, Mississippi. I'm Tony St. James, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Now, as we move into the crops and commodities and drought, we are obviously pretty much in the off season for agriculture. The only active crop, and it is largely dormant this time of year, is winter wheat. We do have it in the ground, and you do have to consider any weather extremes that may occur this time of year with regard to that crop. Currently, we're seeing just about 35% of the U.S. winter wheat production area in drought. That is actually down 10 percentage points from an autumn peak of 45%. So we have seen improvement in the right direction. A lot of that is due to beneficial precipitation that has fallen across the lower Midwest and the Northwest, and to a lesser degree, some of the rain that has recently fallen across the southern plains. That said, 65% of the winter wheat production area is not in drought, and that does include a lot of the key heavily cropped areas across the central Great Plains, including much of top producer Kansas.
It's the Agribusiness Report.